Blog Talk Radio.
5, 6, walking forward. Not yet. Go!
And that was awesome. I'm Ruben Wolf.
And I'm Sean Gibbs.
And this is episode 3, season 1, episode 3, Minnie Murray of the hit ABC sitcom The Goldbergs. Sean, you've only seen like 3 episodes. Do you like the show?
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to the next 158 that I haven't seen.
You know,
yeah, I'm starting to like the characters. I'm starting to associate with the grandpa. I don't know if that's because I'm older, but.
So that's funny because this has two of my favorite pops is kind of a lovable, gullible idiot moment. When we finish with the Goldbergs, we still have the spinoff Schooled, and we still haven't met Lainey Lewis yet.
Jeez, you're spoiling everything.
Well, you're going to like Lainey. So let's jump right into it. How about it? So we get our opening narration of Patton Oswalt saying, every kid in Philadelphia was obsessed with the 76ers, and our montage is Barry putting on NBA garb, and it's specifically the jersey of Julius Erving. Sean, are you familiar with Julius Erving?
Yes, I am yeah. But I wasn't a Sixers fan because I wasn't East Coast.
Right, I wanted to ask you, who did you root for in Kentucky in the 80s?
Well, I wasn't in Kentucky in the 80s, I was in Kansas City, but if I would have been in Kentucky, maybe the, I don't know, Kansas City Kings before they moved to L.A.
I was so, like, half and half on Kentucky. I was like, it's Kentucky. It's not Kansas anything. It's Kentucky. But Missouri.
Yeah, same racism, different state.
You also have the Chiefs there. Why didn't you root for the Chiefs?
Because they used to have like 1/10 of the stadium filled whenever I would go see them, and they would lose every year tremendously. It's pretty bad.
Oh. Well, you know, now the Chiefs are like really good.
I guess, yeah. So I guess that's what they do.
Yeah, that is what they do. Anyway, for those of you who don't know who Julius Erving was, he went by Dr. J, and he played for the Philadelphia 76ers. Yeah, from 76 to 87, to 1987. And he won an NBA championship in 1983, where he beat the Sixers beat the Los Angeles Lakers in a sweep of 4-0. And that sounds really good, except the year before they were beaten by the Lakers 4-0. And 2 years before that, they were beaten by the Lakers, I think, 4-2. But they got their comeuppance. They got theirs. They won, which is nice.
They got it right in their uppins. Right in their uppins.
Right up in the uppins. So we have the rest of the montage is Barry sucking at sports around the house, is what I wrote. And it's just so funny. He's, like, defending Adam going to the bathroom. I love when he knocked the plate out of Erica's hand, and he gave, like, the Mckinbee Mutombo, like, not in my house. I thought
right.
It was funny.
And you're bruising the plums. You think I'm made of fresh produce? That was pretty
good. Did that make you laugh?
That did.
Awesome. So then Barry finally finds his shortcut ticket to the NBA, because Barry, I think I've mentioned before, Barry has like these really wild fantasies. And I think the wildest of them, and it's something that he carries throughout the show, is this dream of being in the NBA as a like small Jewish kid from Philadelphia, from the Philly suburbs. He wants to be in the NBA. But he trains like the way you see him, like around the house, and he's terrible at basketball. But he finds a shortcut in a magazine for the Reebok pump.
Yeah, the pump. The pump. See,
you know
advertising
pump?
Back then, yeah, advertising back then told all of us that we were going to be MTV rock stars and we were going to be sports heroes Yeah, all you had to do was just do it. All you had to do is have the right equipment. Yeah, the pump. $175.
What sneakers did you wear in the 80s?
I think Nike, I had like some cheap $25 Nikes maybe and some Reeboks when the Reebok craze first came out, but that didn't last very long. Chuck Taylors. Anything that was like $15 or $20, but $175. I mean, I would never be able to ask for Jordans or a Reebok pump. No way. No way. Never. Never.
So the Reebok pumps came out in 1989. I did a lot of research in this episode. There's a lot of like references that I'm like, I need more references to that. I need to do some research. So the Reebok pumps came out in 1989, and as you pointed out, Barry said, quoted the price as $175, which by today's standards, adjusting for inflation, is $373.20.
Holy shit.
Yeah, can you imagine going to your parents, or even my parents, and being like, "Hey, can I just borrow like $375 for a pair of shoes that I'll ruin in like 2 weeks?"
Yeah, exactly. And I always assumed my mom and my stepdad had loads and loads of money, and they just weren't giving it to me. But they were always like trying to live way beyond their means. Like that's when the Keeping Up with the Johnsons came out, so. When he asked dad or something like, I know you have the money. Why don't you just give me some of it? And then mom said something like, his pants aren't a money factory or something stupid.
That's the, weirdly enough, that's the second reference to something that Murray isn't. The other one was, you're bruising the plums. Do you think I'm made of fresh produce? Murray is neither made
so
of fresh produce. He's neither made of fresh produce, nor are his pants a money factory. What is Murray, if not those two things? That's two things we can cross off the list.
When he says you have to, he's like, if you want it, you have to earn it. I mean, I had to earn my money. I had a paper route when I was in third grade. It was terrible. I made nothing. It was one of those subscriptions that if people didn't pay for the subscription, you still delivered it anyway. It's terrible.
Yeah, we're gonna get to how much Barry ends up making because it is really sad. But I just want to mention some more things about the Reebok pump. So they were released in 1989, and what they were, if you don't know what the Reebok pumps were, they were they had these. You should see what I'm doing. I'm miming it because it's the only way I can explain it. in the tongue they had like these like ball, like they were like little balls, but they were pumps. And what they did was they inflated the shoe to provide more ankle support. And if you're a basketball player and you're shifting from side to side, that's super important. But their reputation kind of took off in the early 90s because somebody in the NBA dunk contest used them. And before they did every dunk, they would pump up their shoes. So I guess it kind of gained this reputation as since the shoes are filled with air, they also make you jump higher. But that's what happened. I see that's my memory of the Reebok pumps. It's like they made you jump higher because they filled with air. But they kind of became the flagship Reebok, right? Like people who don't know sneakers know the Reebok pumps.
And then this technology went on to bring about the penis pumper, which also gave you a little more lift on the court, if you will.
Right.
Hey-o! Lift on the court. Old man Sean's back in the game.
And if your game in bed is to go from side to side, you probably need that support. But I don't know how you do it. Don't ask me how I do it. Also, yeah, so Murray gives Barry the opportunity to go like work in the furniture store with him to earn the money. And I wrote, God darn it. Gosh darn it. I hope I make it in comedy so I don't have to work in a furniture store.
Oh, man. Can you imagine? Just that smell every day.
Oh, I hate the furniture store smell.
Yeah, it's like this fake. Yeah. Yeah, it's like a burnt tuna fish pizza kind of smell. It's like, is somebody hiding some
What were you going to say?
Yeah, is somebody hiding a dead kid under one of these recliners? Are we going into that part first, or are we going in, are we sticking where we are?
Where, in the furniture store?
Are we diving into the furniture store? Or what's next on your agenda?
My agenda is... I'm twisted up inside,
but nonetheless I feel... Oh, my God.
We get the theme. I want to play the theme. But the path keeps
getting clear. Oh, my God.
That theme.
That song is growing on me so much. It's driving me crazy. Like, it's sticking in my head.
It's like, it really, like we talked about last week, it really is like the perfect marriage of show and song, you know? So anyway, we get right. So after the theme song, Adam is jonesing to see Poltergeist.
Yeah. Oh
what
wait.
Is your relationship
by the way, that theme song is a perfect marriage between Survivor and Toto. If you go back, I just realized who it reminded me of.
Oh my God. It's so
Poltergeist. Was. Way scarier than we thought it was going to be.
What does that mean?
I mean, they advertised it like it was going to be scary, but it scared the shit out of everybody that saw it.
God, you don't see that anymore. You don't get, like some movies you know what you're getting into, but, like, there's a lot of movies out there that the advertising is, like, really bad, or you just know what you're getting into. I like when a movie's falsely advertised.
That one wasn't.
So it scared the crap out of you. Did it scare the crap out of you the way it scared Adam?
Oh, yeah. We were frightened. Even if it would have been at the Dollar Theater like they said it was at, which is like basically you and a bunch of losers watching something that had been out for 6 months already. You were so far behind the curve if you were at a dollar movie theater.
I feel like dollar theaters are like a lost art. You know, like they don't exist anymore. At least not that I know of.
Maybe in like Tennessee or something.
We had two. I grew up in Coral Springs, Florida. We had two dollar theaters there. I remember two movies I saw at one. One I saw Anastasia in 1997. It closed down after a while. And the other movie I remember seeing there is Black Knight with Martin Lawrence.
Wow.
I don't know if you've seen it. It's really bad. But it was also great.
Yeah, usually the candy was more expensive than the movie there. It was really weird.
Oh, my God, I don't even remember. I remember about this one theater, though, that they had, like, this cool-ass jawbreaker machine where, like, you had to guide. I don't know, like, the jawbreaker fell down, and, like, you had to balance it on these like, two sticks, but it was really dumb because the jawbreaker could just fall and out of the slot and you get your giant jawbreaker. And the machine never made sense, but that's always what I remember in the theater and seeing those two movies. Anyway, so Beverly won't let Adam go see Poltergeist, and we get a Bev lie. We get a really good Bev lie.
Yes, so good.
Do you want to say what it is?
Should we say it together? One,
did we both
two,
write it
three.
Barbara
Terror Stroke.
Oh, I have the whole lie written down.
Oh, okay.
So Barbara Fishman's neighbor's nephew saw Poltergeist, and 3 days later, he had a terror stroke. You know what the thing about this,
so
this lie is? I can believe it. I believe that you could have a terror stroke. Not 3 days later.
I may have had a terror stroke 3 days later after watching Poltergeist.
Well, do you remember, do you know the stories of like when The Exorcist first came out and like people were fainting and throwing up in the theater and like had to be carried out?
See, I saw The Exorcist when it came out. It was like 77. I think we saw it once in the theater and once in the drive-in. It must have been like in some just – I think they were just trying to add press to it because I didn't see anybody doing that.
Well, that was the big
– I thought
it was pretty – I mean, that's what The Exorcist was known for. So You and my mom are the two people who have told me that they saw The Exorcist in theaters and were like, I don't know what people are talking about.
No, it wasn't.
My mom
was kind of corny when, like, all of it was kind of corny.
I mean, it's still a great movie. But my mom's take on it was, I asked her, I was like, did you faint? Did you pass out when you saw The Exorcist in theaters? She's like, no, I remember I was sitting in the back and I ate an apple. However, my mom is one of those who can't go in the ocean because of Jaws.
Oh, I get it. I get it. Yeah, I'll still be in the ocean, like out on Long Island, and I'll have to get out because I'm like, I'll think a shark just waddled by my leg. Yeah. But I was more scared in, I think, the second or third Exorcist, where these locusts come. That's a sign of the devil, I think, coming back or something. But, like, all these locusts come and just swarm and take over the world. Like, that scared the fuck out of me. But the first Exorcist didn't.
I've only seen the first Exorcist, and it's just a really good movie. But I can't, like, I don't know. There's no element of surprise anywhere. Anyway, Beverly decides or makes another recommendation. She says, why don't you go see The Great Mouse Detective? And, Sean, I want to stop because we got to figure out this timeline. Because we have a shoe that's coming out in 1989. We have a movie that came out in 1982. I don't know if I mentioned that. Poltergeist came out in 1982. And The Great Mouse Detective comes out in 86.
Damn.
Yes.
Yeah, The Mouse Detective was way off, way off.
Yeah, it's 86. We also have the shoe that came out in 89. So where are we?
Barry actually mentions, or somebody mentions at one point. Yeah, I think it was around sometime in the 80s. They just kind of generally reference a time, not the time.
Oh, yeah. They say every episode starts with it's 1980-something, which I love because it does. It makes that timeline, you know, applicable. Or it makes it not applicable. That's a stupid word for it. It non-defined, you know. It's an undefined timeline. But I think I can synthesize these things. I did some deep dives for this episode.
They took some liberties with a lot of this.
Yeah, but I think I can figure it out. So hear me out. I'm really going to grasp at straws here. So Poltergeist came out in 82, right? Poltergeist 2 comes out in 1986, the same year as The Great Mouse Detective.
Okay.
So, but that still doesn't account for the Reebok coming out in 89. Now, Poltergeist 3 came out in 1988. The same year, a movie called Oliver and Company comes out, which is a Disney movie. You see where I'm going with this? So I think it's another Disney movie that came after The Great Mouse Detective. So I think these two theaters are building hype for Oliver and Company and Poltergeist 3. By showing special screenings in 1988 of those two movies. And I think that accounts for Barry having the magazine advertising the Reebok pumps coming out. Boom.
Wow.
Did I do it?
Holy cow.
It?
You should get a job in like special service, like the CIA or something. That's crazy.
I just like researching.
That's
stuff.
Some really bizarre detective work.
And how unnecessary. I could be curing cancer. I could be curing cancer. And I just looked up when Oliver came out.
I think you just did. I think that the all the work that you just put in, if you add all that up, will be the cure. That'll be the one.
Okay, I wanna move ahead because my favorite scene of the entire episode. So Adam fools Pops in the scene Poltergeist by telling him we're going to see The Great Mouse Detective. And they watch Poltergeist, and we get our bleep word of the week at 4 minutes and 24 seconds. Do you remember that? This was so good.
Where the fuck was the mouse?
Where the fuck was... They watch all of Poltergeist, and everyone leaves. And just sitting there, and Pops goes, where the fuck was the mouse?
And he was terrified.
Uh,
he was terrified.
I like Poltergeist. I will say I like Poltergeist. I do think The Exorcist was scarier. The Exorcist made you think.
Huh.
Poltergeist is just kind of like, I thought Poltergeist was cute.
I think you had to see it in the theater. I think you had to see it in the theater with like the Dolby and the big screen. I don't think it translates as well on a small screen because like Poltergeist was like a barrage on the senses a lot with like the music and the effects where Exorcist was more of a mind fuck.
Exactly. I think that's why I like The Exorcist more. It is that mind. It's that it totally makes you think. Right after the movie, Poltergeist was just. You're right. It's just like a barrage in the senses, and it's a lot of fun. I had something else I wanted to say, and I can't remember. So let's keep going. So now we're in the furniture store, and we meet Murray's.
At the Ottoman Empire. The Ottoman Empire is the greatest name for a furniture company ever in the history of mankind.
I know. I wonder. I should have looked up what the real furniture store was called, but if it is the Ottoman Empire, hats off to Pops, because that was his store first.
Oh, you mean the original name of the person who his dad's store?
So remember, later in the episode, Murray mentioned that Pops was the one who gave him the job at the furniture store after he met Bev, because Murray had no direction. And then Murray ended up,
gotcha.
He was so good, he ended up taking over.
Hmm.
So in the furniture store, we meet Vic. Do you recognize Vic?
Yes. But I was going to look him up, but he's a stand-up comedian, right?
So he's played by Cedric Yarborough. Who you would also know from Reno 911 with Wendy McClendon Covey.
Oh, he lost a lot of weight.
He did. He's on another show. If you have Hulu, he was on a show called Speechless, which ran for only 3 seasons, which I think was the most underrated comedy of the decade. It's about this kid, this poor family who has a kid who can't get cerebral palsy, so he can't, like, speak. He uses, like, a board and a laser to speak. And it's just – and Minnie Driver's in it. And it's just, it's absolutely hilarious. I highly recommend it.
I will watch that tonight or tomorrow.
I also wanted to ask, what do you think of the Jerry Curl?
Oh, love the Jerry Curl. First, that caught me off guard right away. I was like, oh, that is legit. That is legit. Like a super clean, crisp-ass suit. Good-looking black man. Probably smelled really good. And then that little dab will do you, just Jerry Curl juice, just holding everything together. I love that look.
It's good. He pulls it off really well. Like, what I know about Jerry Curls is, like, they're all greasy looking. Like, they're
just
always
dripping.
Yeah, exactly. There's that great scene in Coming to America where, like, the two Jerry Curl people are sitting on the couch and they get up and there's this big, like, blotches behind them of where they were sitting. Their Jerry Curl juice is dripping off.
Soul Glow. Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was – didn't they make a sequel to that was supposed to be out this year?
But, you know, COVID and whatever. Eddie Murphy said that they finished it. So look out for Coming to America 2. Coming to America?
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. So Barry,
I just remembered he was supposed to record a special, too. He was on tour doing stand-up. Shit, man, that fucked his game up. Oh, well, Ottoman Empire.
Ottoman Empire. So Barry has to sleep, and again, he thinks that's his ticket to the NBA. Oh, God, Barry. Because doesn't every NBA player go, like, I couldn't have done it without my dad telling me to sleep in the furniture store?
Yeah,
isn't that
exactly
how every NBA player – and knocking dishes out of my sister's hands and throwing plums at the fruit basket. Barry's wild.
I do also love the attention to detail in the store, like with the stamps that they had for like the date stamps and like the tape roller dispenser were like so specifically like kind of 80s. Like they really like pay, like little things in the background are so tight with what was going on at the time. Like, I don't know. I love it.
See, this is why I keep you around. I wouldn't pay attention to that stuff. I mean, sometimes I do. The only reason I keep
you around.
It's
only going to get worse.
Back in Adam's room, things are going bump. And it's at night, and things are going bump. And I still love the Ghostbusters poster behind him on his bed, and the Star Wars wallpaper is just growing on me. That Star Wars wallpaper is legit.
It's so sick.
Where did he get that? We should look that up.
I don't know. Maybe they made it, had it made or something. Just you could probably buy like that stick up wallpaper. I would rock that in my bedroom.
Oh, true. And I want to point out, so the parallel to the movie is that Adam has this clown doll, and how convenient. They just have this clown doll that was also in Poltergeist.
Yeah, that was a little weird. And he's a little old to be having dolls. Seventh grade is a little old.
Oh, Adam and his toys are married. There's a few episodes about Adam's relationship with his toys. I did want to ask, though, do you remember what the clown doll pre and post Poltergeist? Because I think Poltergeist is like where people started hating clown dolls.
Oh, definitely. Bozo the Clown was... I had a Bozo the Clown doll when I was growing up in the 70s. Post would have been Chucky, I guess.
So my generation, I will say my generation...
Chucky wasn't a
clown
though.
No, and Chucky never scared me, but I will say my generation, I think our scary clown was It. It was the Tim Curry It. And I guess this generation is also It.
I've never seen It.
Oh, the miniseries is so over the top. The one from 1990. The new one is really good.
I do love Tim Curry.
What's that?
I do love Tim Curry.
Tim Curry's awesome. He's great in everything. He's particularly great in this. So anyway, as a result of Adam being scared poopless, he wants to sleep with mom, and I want to point out in this scene where he asks his mom to snuggle, to sleep with her, she says, "You got to make," and she does that movement. Did you notice that?
Yes.
So
yes,
that's a running
gag.
I think that's the first of the way she says, "You got to make," and then does that movement. Like, you got to poop. She always, you got to make poo-poos, and she always does that movement with her hands.
Oh, okay.
And then the next morning, Beverly finds...
Oedipus stuff is starting to make me, not sit in my seat comfortably when I watch this show now. Like, there were, like, three or four times during this episode where I was... if you would have been in the room with me, you would have seen that I was visibly upset.
Oh, Beverly goes... It's weird to say this, but I think it gets a lot worse with Beverly, but I do think they also pull back.
Okay.
Like, they blow it up a little bit. Like, when she takes over the school, I think you'll grow to like Beverly. Although her relationship with the kids does get a little weird.
No, I love the shit out of her. I mean, I absolutely fucking adore her. It's so creepy. Maybe they're playing into the fact that most of like pornography now is like incest. Or something. I don't know, but it's just fucking, it's there and it's present and it's just uncomfortable.
I think an innocent sitcom like The Goldbergs is like, you know what's really hit right now is incest porn. Let's play that up. So anyway, Beverly finds the tickets and then puts the doll back in Adam's room because she loves the fact that her son it's snuggling. Also, Eric is in the scene, and it's like halfway through the episode, and I hate that this episode kind of leaves Erica in the dust.
Yeah.
I like Erica a lot. She does get to do a lot more, and again, I told you earlier her story arc is very interesting, but I don't like that this episode kind of just shafted her. She didn't get to do much.
Yeah.
Erica,
I was thinking about this the last couple of episodes that I don't know if I would have been friends with her in like junior high or high school. I don't think her character has developed yet because she's not really like a bitch. She's not really like a sweet girl. She's just kind of in between. She's not really she's not like a jock. She's not a punk. She's not new wave. She's really kind of indescribable right at this point.
Well, yeah, she's rebellious, but I think she evens out, and I think you're going to really like Erica. She has a great story arc. And they do some, it's a testament to how good the writing can be on the Goldbergs. Did you see Adam's shirt when Beverly puts the doll back in the room?
Oh, man. I watched the episode twice. I should have seen it. I don't have it written down.
Top Gun.
Oh yeah, that scene. Yeah, that Top Gun shirt was dope.
So I wrote it's 1986, which is still consistent with our weird timeline. But yeah, that again, like that, it's like the, you know, I feel like it's like one of those 80s shirts that you can really get anywhere. But again, like it's another one of Adam's. It's another one of, like, we're defined by the 80s by the shirt that our Adam's wearing. Sure. And there is a whole Top Gun episode.
I don't even remember that shirt being around back when the movie came out, which is kind of weird. I don't remember anyone rocking it, but maybe it just wasn't big in the Midwest or something. I mean, the movie was huge, but...
I know
we
that
all
that
went
shirt's
to see
around
it, but...
That's a shirt from now. I've seen that in, like, Hot Topic or somewhere.
Right. Maybe because of the new Top Gun. Yeah.
Oh, although I think Adam has I don't know if you have this in your notes, but Adam has a better shirt that I wanted to ask you about. And I think it's either in the next scene or in a few scenes because Patton Oswalt makes a transition that the scary thing in the house is Beverly Goldberg. I was sleeping next to the scary thing in the house. Nice little comedic touch.
Jeez. I do like how the attention to detail with like sheets and comforters with big flowers on them. Like we had those. We had that same comforter. I think my grandmother had the same comforter. Just frilly big comforters with big flowers on them. That was very 80s.
Is that an 80s trope? Because I have sheets with flowers right now.
But like big pink. Like not carnations, I forget what those things are, not Rose of Sharon, but they're like these giant pink flowers. They were, I don't know, they were like everywhere.
I'm not sure, but anyway, so Barry gets his first paycheck from sweeping floors and it's $33.27, which is awful. Like I'd be pissed off too.
You know what's even more awful is the Cosby sweater that he was wearing at that point in the show. Cool kids did not wear Cosby sweaters back then. That was not that's a dad thing. He had
you know
a horrendous.
Funny, wrote... Wait,
what'd
let
you
me
write?
See the Cosby sweater. I wrote because oh now I went back. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's a bad sweater. Because I wrote a little later. They're both Murray and Barry are both wearing sweater vests, and I'm like, I dig the sweater vest.
Yeah, I'm down with the sweater vest.
Yeah, but I see now the Cosby sweater's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Do we have to call it something else now? Considering what happened to Bill Cosby.
Yeah, we'll have to come up with a name for that.
Anyway, so Barry gets $33.27, which if he works an 8-hour day, that's like 75 cents an hour for a whole week. Today, $33.27, by the way, is $77.83. But he's very angry. Did you say something?
Yeah, no, I'm just laughing. We don't know how many hours he worked that week, though. After taxes.
That's true.
Oh, Dad says it's after taxes, after FICA and state, federal and state. And Barry goes, what are you talking about? Those aren't even real things.
You know what's funny? Is that's the first of two references to Philadelphia State or Philadelphia State, Pennsylvania State employment law that Barry is wrong about. And I'm going to get to that too. Yeah, those aren't real things.
Wow.
That's pretty funny.
That's some serious accusations you got going on there.
Well, I'll give you, I'll tell you what it is. I think it's after the scene where, it's after, in a few scenes. But here further, Barry tries to be a salesman. Oh, I wanted to point out, so $33.27, the shoe is $175. Barry could just work there for 4 weeks because he doesn't pay rent or anything and then just go buy the shoe.
Exactly.
So, I'd be pissed about the $33. Yeah. I'd be pissed about the $33 if I was working a 40-hour week, but at the same time, if I just wanted a shoe and I wasn't paying rent, I'd just work there for 4 weeks and get out. Anyway, we get another sports reference because Barry tries to be a salesman. He's trying to sell the salmon love seat, which Murray is like basically giving up on.
I think my mom's office had a salmon love seat, which I eventually took to one of my apartments. Yeah, the salmon love seat was a big item, a hot item back then.
Is it really that ugly?
I think ours was a little more subdued. That one was pretty salmon, if I could say. It was pretty far upstream for that one.
So Barry tries to sell the salmon love seat by saying he relates to the guy who's looking at the salmon love seat because the guy's wearing a Ron Jaworski jersey, and Barry says,
yep.
Well, we've got this salmon love seat on hold for Ron Jaworski. So your mom loved the salmon love seat, and the Philadelphia Eagles quarterback from 1976 to 1986, who played in the Super Bowl with the Eagles, also loved the salmon love seat. So your mom and Ron Jaworski apparently have that in common.
Oh, and then Barry says something about Jaworski and something literally, and he uses the word literally like you would use the word literally now, which is incorrect, and no one ever even used the word literally even back then correctly. Never.
Did people use
no one even knew what that word meant. Okay, that was a little weird. That threw me off a little bit. Back then, dude was more like dude. They kind of did it weird. Dude was more stoner.
Right. Interesting. So we're a little off in our rhetoric again. And I'm glad Sean's here to point out the way that they use words wrong.
Like if I was to say dude to you, it'd be like, dude, that fucking weed knocked my, like, got me so fucking buzzed. Like, dude, Zeppelin is like fucking squashing my brain. Like, dude, it was like a long. They got the length right. They just didn't have it in the right. That was total. Yeah, you had to be high to be saying that shit.
So anyway, back in the house, Beverly is changing channels, trying to freak Adam out. And this is the shirt I wanted to point out. It was the Feed Me shirt, and I couldn't get a good look at it, but I'm pretty sure that's Little Shop of Horrors. It said Feed Me. Did you see that?
I hated that movie.
I
think that's
movie.
Just because I don't like musicals.
But that's a great. I grew up with that movie. I grew up with Little Shop of Horrors. Anyway,
I know.
So Murray and Barry come home, and Murray realizes, oh my god! Like, and Barry starts acting like Murray, and Murray freaks out, and the next day fires Barry as he's trying to make a sale. And this is the other thing that Barry was wrong about: is Murray fires Barry, and Barry says, "You can't do that. You need cause." And I don't know when this came into action, but Pennsylvania is an at-will state, much like New York. You can fire anyone for any reason. You don't need cause.
Right.
So Barry doesn't know anything about employment law. Learn something, Barry! And I love how Barry pulls a Jerry Maguire on his way out. He's like, who's coming with me?
Oh, right.
I'm going to open my own furniture store. It's going to be across the street, and Dick's going to come work with me. And Murray's like, no, that is all a lie. That's not true.
Wait, Barry, wait, 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 wait. I missed something. there was something really creepy where they both came home from work and they both took their pants off when they walked in from the front door. That was really weird.
Well, that's Murray's thing. If he walks in, he takes his pants off.
Yeah, it's just so weird.
After that, Toph comes and decides to sleep over because Adam's scared. And Adam finally catches Bev in the act, and Pops and Adam confront her. And I love the line. Beverly goes, "What's wrong, Poo?" And Adam goes, "Don't poo me." And Pops says, "Yeah, don't poo him." and then you get this other great moment. Pops still thinks they saw the Great Mouse Detective. He says, "The movie was wildly misnamed."
Oh, wait, okay, so was this before or after Beverly says, "Why don't you run upstairs?" Now, remember when he says, "I have a stomach ache"? Oh, after she's turning the channels, she says, "Why don't you run upstairs and I'll be there in a minute." It was so creepy. Oh, my God, it gave me the creeps. Got caught by her daughter, who turned around and caught her trying to manipulate so she could get hugs.
Right, which again, like, Erica doesn't do much in this episode, unfortunately. But since Adam finds out and Beverly is like, "Oh God, what do I do?" She says Adam can now go see Stripes. And now the timeline is all out of whack. Because Stripes came out in 1981. And I'm very angry about this.
I think actually Stripes kind of went back into the theater, though, if I remember correctly. Because it was so popular in the 80s, I think there were, like, late-night shows of it or at dollar theaters. Because that's the only way you could see it. I don't think it was out on video yet. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, and I'll tell you what. My fucking parents would not – I remember seeing Stripes, but I think I had to go see it with my aunt or my uncle. Like, my mom wouldn't take me to see it because it was an edgy movie back then.
Yeah, Beverly even says they show boobs, and Adam says, "How many?"
How many? Yeah.
And then we get our song, "Here I Go Again" by Whitesnake from their 1987 album, and it's great. What an awesome song.
Yeah, I was like, what year are we in? Because at one point I thought we were in 1985, and I'm like, did the Whitesnake album, did that come out in 85? I was like, no, it had to have been later than that. Because I remember.
Came out in 87.
I remember that. Yeah. That threw me a little bit.
It's a great song, though. And Murray decides he bought Barry the pumps and doesn't want Barry to turn out like him. And everyone goes outside to watch Barry fall on his face trying to dunk. And then we get a post, a nice little post-credit. How embarrassing. But then we get this nice little post-credit. And I just want to get to this because we do have about a minute left. We get a post-credit scene of Barry's, like, college scholarship basketball film, and it's clearly doctored up to look like he sank every shot. And nobody believes it except Pop, who gets up and goes, "Can you believe it? He made a shot from the end of the driveway."
Oh, yeah. And the other thing that's unbelievable is how badass fucking Beverly's blue bedazzled jumpsuit with hot pink accents is with the belt and the tube top. That really made the whole episode for me. They really fucking nailed that.
Your mom wore that too?
No. My mom wasn't that cool. My mom dressed really well, but it was pretty dope. The accents were where it was key.
All right, another Sean fashion snipe, which I love. And that is episode.
That was awesome. I like the episode. Yeah. We talked before about how it wasn't maybe like – it wasn't a stinker, but there's definitely – I feel like there's a lot that's going to come out of this for me anyway.